Welcome to episode 246 of the McSauce Comic Book Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, July 9th, and tonight we're going to dig into the fine workings of YouTube Red series, Cobra Kai. Who would have thought YouTube would have a series worthy of dedicating an hour of podcast?
Didn't they change the name of it?
Is it YouTube Premium?
It might be something like that.
Because when I signed up for it, I had to sign up for something called YouTube Premium.
I guess they changed it.
Yeah, it is
that.
YouTube Premium.
Because you know what?
Because Red is dumb.
What do you think of when you think Red?
Red Tube Porno.
Exactly.
Really?
No.
No.
I think of the that action movie with John Malkovich and Helen Mirren.
That's not what you think of.
It is.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, when I...
So it's a YouTube channel, strictly that movie on loop
all the
over
time. That
over.
Movie and its sequel.
When I hear YouTube Red...
You don't
yes.
think... You fool.
I think of Red Band trailers.
Either
like
that,
the trailers that come out that have all the swearing and violence and blood in them.
Right. For movies that you couldn't market otherwise. Like... You can't do a PG version of a Deadpool trailer.
Right.
It needs a Red Band trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Ian?
Yes.
You know, oh,
what do we know?
Oops. Paul, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight we're going to talk about Cobra Kai. The YouTube premiere series.
Premium.
Premium. YouTube Premium.
We're messing this up.
Why didn't they just fucking stick with Red? I understood it. It's YouTube Red because their fucking logo's red.
House is the lowest common denominator, folks.
Isn't there a fucking problem regular here? Logo red, though?
Yeah, the box with the play sign
the play
is
button.
Red.
Right. Yeah. So how is this different if it's already a red logo?
That's
because
true.
It's not because YouTube's just YouTube. This premiere.
Right. We understand
series
that
is red.
Yeah, we
it's
get it. We
premium,
get it.
First of all, but the regular YouTube logo is red. So why is YouTube Red different than the regular YouTube?
Because they needed a name for their
premium service.
My God.
Oh, my God.
If you say the word premium one more time, I'm going to suffocate you with that pillow.
They needed a name for their premier service, which people would pay for.
Right, so they just
so
named
just
it Red
name
because
it
their logo's red. That, I guarantee that was it. That was it. I don't know. I don't know why they changed it to Platinum.
How about YouTube Us too?
Yes, that would be good too. I think that would be fine.
YouTube Us as well.
Yes.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about Cobra Kai, but before we get into Cobra Kai, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley, or shall we call it? Dojo keeping tonight.
Ah, yes. Wax on, wax off at McSauce.com. We have some strips up there. Paul has been hard at work doing a couple of strips the past couple of weeks, so we do have some new stuff for you on McSauce.com.
It felt really good digging back into it, drawing good old Sauce and Gint again, making some jokes at the expense of Westworld this time.
We have, besides the new stuff, we have about 10 years of content on there. So dive in and check out any of the webcomics that we have on there. We also
do you have any
have
favorites?
Any favorite webcomics?
Yeah. Any spring to mind?
Yeah. I mean,
aside from all the ones you worked on.
I'm trying to think. My favorites are always the ones that Paul does, because essentially the way that we had the webcomic set up is that we were just basically trying to make each other laugh. There are a lot of serial comedy inspired ones. We have a running gag about Doctor Strange and all the sorcerers being involved in like having their own serial brand.
At some point, all the magic wielders from the DC and Marvel universes got their own. They were a serial rival.
There was one that you did with John Constantine that made me laugh my ass off, and it was
Constantine
at this,
Crunch.
At this point, it was it's like 8 years old. I'll have to figure that one out, but that's a good one. Yeah, Doctor Strange always seems to be on the butt end of all the jokes in those serial ones. So
one of my favorites is from the very beginning, from like 2008. It's called Observing the Holiday, where, you know, get one sauce to be proud of him, because on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, he's reading Black Panther and Black Lightning and all these Black-centric comic books.
For a while there, we had a lot of Martin Luther King Day was a big time holiday for humor on the McSauce website. So you can we'd always mark the season and really get the series kickstarted for the new year with MLK Day.
One of my own favorites was the one Black Friday strip where Sauce is writing to essentially the Great Pumpkin, Denzel Washington, to bring him presents in the color green fields on Black Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, so, if any of this sounds like it makes any sense to you out there, go to McSauce.com and check out our deep, deep catalog of comics. Like I said, I wasn't joking when I said we have 10 years worth of content on the strip.
You realize Calvin and Hobbes ran for 10 years? Like, you've got as much content as Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, Bill Watterson did it.
They did a daily strip.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Couldn't imagine doing that.
But we did do a bi-weekly strip for the better part of 10 years. So, McSauce.com, home of the webcomics that we create. You can also check out this podcast that you're listening to here. And you can check us out on all the socials. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube Red, I guess. It's on regular YouTube. But we have a YouTube page.
YouTube Primetime.
YouTube
Our bronze. YouTube channel is so good. It should be on premium. But we decided to bring you, the fans, our content for free. Just like every other bit of our content is free. Paul, you're welcome.
Thanks, Matt.
It is very free. And
you want to buy a McSauce t-shirt, in which case on TeePublic, you can search McSauce, M-C-S-O-S-S, and pay $14 to $20 for a t-shirt. There's varying sales at different times, so go check that out. Support your favorite podcast. Buy a t-shirt, buy a baseball shirt, a tank top, laptop cover if you want. Options.
Put it on anything.
That's true.
Can you get a sticker?
You can.
Because you could put that sticker on your computer. Let me tell you something.
You can't get a sticker.
Well, Ian said you could, so.
You can no longer get a sticker because the way TeePublic automatically formats the artwork, it was putting a weird stroke around the matte silhouette, so that it was looking kind of funky. I'm gonna have to adjust the artwork specifically to get a sticker up there. But that's coming.
Well, if you want
a sticker,
TeePublic.com.
Is that it for housekeeping?
Just one little thing. It's not really housekeeping. It's just sort of a note. Over the weekend, a comic book legend passed away. Steve Ditko, creator of many things, but most importantly to us here on this podcast, the visual creator of Spider-Man, pretty much the feel, look, everything that we know of Spider-Man was created by Steve Ditko. And he was on the book for its formative years, not for, you know, Green Goblin and Rhino or anything like that, but really like fleshing out.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No, he was the co-creator of characters like Green Goblin.
Yeah, well then I'm wrong.
And,
good thing Matt's here.
Some of the other like Sinister Six characters. Yeah,
was he?
Yeah. I feel like it was Romita Sr. that came in and really put the polish on all these characters, but Steve Ditko was the co-creator.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole list, and he also co-created Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm. He did. Gave it that real psychedelic feel that was very different. He had a sort of a different style than a lot of his contemporaries, where there's a lot of, you know, strong-jawed superheroes. The reason why he was selected to pencil Spider-Man was because he could bring a little strangeness to the character. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man was a teenager, and he really was able to capture that like awkwardness of the character. He was 90 years old. So
good run.
Yeah, rest in peace, Steve Ditko.
Paul, you were talking a little bit about stickers before, and I have a quandary. Is that a a thing?
It's I mean, it depends. Like what?
It's a dilemma.
You have a sticker dilemma. It's
yeah,
like this
I have been considering going with adorning my laptop with stickers of things that I'm into, or you know, but yeah, things that I'm into. I've never done that before. I've always appreciated the pristine sleekness of a nice Apple product, but everybody's got one now. And what better way
to... A sticker? Everyone's got
an Apple product.
No, everybody's got like a MacBook now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It's like how long until Apple computers become the go-to in the workplace? Because I feel like everybody that's buying a new computer anymore gets an Apple computer. Like you go to Starbucks or something.
And it's like an Apple farm.
It's like an Apple farm. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you ever go to like a car cruise?
No.
Do you know what they are?
Define car
cruise. I do, but I've.
Define
I don't
it?
Go.
What's a car cruise? Is that just when like a bunch of car dorks get together
and some drive around
in a parking lot?
Yes.
They don't even drive. They
jerk
park
to each other's cars.
They park and then people walk around looking at cars that are parked. It's kind of like a car show, but in a parking lot. And
gotcha.
BYOC.
So you're saying the Starbucks feels like an Apple cruise.
It's a laptop cruise, yeah.
Everyone's looking
and
at
I would
each other's
say,
laptops.
I would say 70% of the computers that are in a Starbucks or any coffee shop or anywhere where you go out into the wild that isn't the workplace and you whip out your computer, that... It's very likely that it's an Apple computer. So everybody's computer looks the same now, right? It's either that space gray or it's silver. Is it time to just throw stickers on it like crazy?
Is that what you want to do? Like, what's your concern, man? Like, are you worried that you will put your computer down and get it mistaken?
No, I just don't want to.
You just want to be an individual?
I want to be an individual, Ian.
Okay, I like it.
You're not going to be more... of an individual. You couldn't be more of an individual with a McSauce sticker.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't think it would be the only sticker on the device. I would probably put maybe a Spider-Man sticker on there too, but it would have all kinds of cool stickers.
Would
I'd have to go on a sticker buying spree.
You know what you can do, Matt, since you're a graphic designer? You could even design a McSauce sticker to work around the Apple.
Oh my God! Because everybody already has an Apple computer.
Or you could design all of your stickers.
That's just really kind of egotistical, don't you think?
I don't know. You're an egomaniac. I thought that you might like that.
I am not. How dare you?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. Maybe. No, I don't know. Like, so Matt's a particular gent.
Matt, what do you want to get?
Case.
What kind of stickers?
Well, I'd like to get a McSauce sticker. Okay. I would like to get a Spider-Man sticker.
What's your favorite band, Matt? Tell the people that might not know.
I would say Iced Earth is my favorite.
You
want to
get
band.
An Iced Earth sticker? Put it on there.
I would like an Iced Earth sticker. I would also like I wouldn't hate getting stickers for bands that I've worked for.
Oh, look out. Who have you worked for, Matt? Tell the people.
Dio Disciples, get a Dio Disciples sticker on there.
Well, you probably made those stickers. You probably made the Tim Ripper Owens sticker as well.
So that would dovetail into that egomaniac thing that I was referencing.
So why, like, I mean,
you
want to make a
McSauce
sticker? You
forced me to go down this road.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, you did, and now we're fucking stuck talking metal for the rest of the episode. Thanks, Ian.
There's a lot of metal in Cobra Kai. Why don't we talk about it?
Let's finish. Let's wrap up.
Sticker
Matt's.
Talk. Matt, what's your favorite movie?
Sticker talk.
Or set of movies.
Well,
Is this still sticker talk?
This is still
we
sticker
want,
talk.
We're gonna give Matt a movie sticker. So we've got a comic sticker, a music sticker.
Here's the thing: people need to know what you're all about. So he likes comics.
We're branding Matt's
laptop
with stickers.
A certain type of music. He's on a certain type of podcast, and he likes a certain kind of movie. So when people look at that, the outside of his computer, they already know. They know the essence of the user of that computer.
But does Matt want to... Does he want to just get lost in the crowd with a Star Wars sticker? Or does he want to get a more unique... what the fuck is that truck's name? Fat Bottom Express. Pork Optimus Chop Express. Prime? Pork Chop Express.
Oh.
I have no idea.
You want a Devil Goes Down to China sticker. What's that movie called? Big Trouble in Little China.
The Devil Goes Down to China, yeah.
That's right up your alley. Little Jack
Burton.
Jack Burton sticker.
I'm sure
there's a sticker out there
his
the silhouette
t-shirt?
Of his hair.
No, how about his t-shirt? That's very iconic, I feel like.
Doesn't he just wear a tank top?
Yeah, but that design, that graphic on it.
That feels
cool
way
sticker.
More Matt Cassell, the brand, than just like your standard Star Wars sticker.
I don't know what we're talking about. Matt Cassell, the brand.
If we're selling Matt Cassell, like, I think Big Trouble in Little China is
I got to tell you guys, I would buy it.
I know you
I'd
would.
Buy that brand. You know what brand I also would buy, Ian?
Tell me, Matt. Why don't you?
The Karate Kid brand.
Ooh,
that has been rebranded and repackaged for the 21st century, Paul.
Yeah, it sure has.
And it was brought to the premium delivery service that is YouTube Premium.
Now, did any of you guys have any apprehension about jumping on and watching this on YouTube? Like, it's going to be some cheesy...
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100%. Low-produced,
when,
terrible
thing.
Come
on, we all
thing.
Thought... When it was announced, and then they also announced where they were going to have this thing, all three of us were like, ew, that didn't bode well.
It was a real roller coaster. It was, oh my God, they're doing a Cobra Kai show. It's going to be great. Wait, it's going to be on YouTube?
But, I mean, when you think about it, it's produced by Sony Pictures. With the full backing of Sony Pictures, they want
with
to...
With the entire Karate Kid library.
Right. And they brought back as much of the cast as they need to at this point. It looks great. It looks like a regular network TV show. I think they can even... They get away with a little bit of swearing here and there.
Oh, yeah.
So they can give you a little bit of that...
Did they say the F word at all in it? I think they
remember.
Do. I think they do.
But I remember them getting loose a little bit with the language.
They
certainly
say pussy
shit.
Quite a bit.
Yeah,
do
they say
pussy. I mean, Johnny's
shit.
Dropping pussy every episode. It's awesome. Don't be a pussy.
Your pussy first generation.
First or second episode, he says it. And, you know, what's the main kid's name? They call him Rio, but that's not his real name.
Miguel, right?
Miguel, yeah. Miguel's like, you know, that's, you know, you shouldn't really say that. It's like sexual appropriation.
Yeah, it's funny to see the current day trends come smashing into the old school 1980s mentality that Johnny has. He's firmly entrenched in the 1980s, and it's interesting to see it go up against these kids and their current values. So I don't know who's right or who's wrong. Probably Johnny's not all that right with some of that shit, but
I don't know. With some of it, I felt myself relating very much to Johnny Lawrence.
So yeah, going in, there was some trepidation for sure, but kind of excitement too, because it's a franchise that I like a lot. I like all three of the original Karate Kid movies. I pretend that the Hilary Swank one never happened.
I forgot I had it. I own the I bought a Karate Kid box set, and I was looking at it today, and I thought it was just the three, but nope, next Karate Kid's in there.
Did you watch it?
See, I always thought that the third one was the Hilary Swank one. For me, my knowledge of Karate Kid really falls off after two. Like, I don't remember what happened in three at all. Like, well, I may have watched it once. So,
would you like a recap?
Quick one. Let's do it.
Go ahead, Paul.
I don't really remember what happened.
All right,
happened
so in three. The Karate Kid 3.
Terry Silver takes...
No, I got this.
Wait, let me see if I can do this. something happens where Daniel starts training with Terry Silver, who is in bed with Kreese, but he's trying to sabotage Daniel. Right? Uh-huh. Something like that. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
And they own Mr. Miyagi's little trees in the beginning, but that goes under, like, him and Allie break up for good.
Here, let me,
I don't even know who he
at
fights at the in the end of that movie.
I got this.
That's how long it's been since I've seen it.
All right, so in The Karate Kid Part 3, they return home from Japan, they being Mr. Miyagi and Daniel. And Daniel's about to start college because, if you remember, he fought in the All-Valley Tournament in the first movie. So this is basically 1 year later. Mm-hmm. He was in, I guess... He was a senior in high school at the time, and rather than go to college, he decides to take the money that he was going to put toward tuition for college, and he invests in Mr. Miyagi's Little Trees, which is like a bonsai shop. And meanwhile, John Kreese aligns himself with his old friend, Terry Silver, and they resurrect, or their plan is to resurrect Cobra Kai, because Cobra Kai just imploded after the events of Karate Kid Part 1. And... what they do is they find this total badass karate dude named Mike Barnes, and they get him and they pay him because he's going to be the guy that beats the shit out of the Karate Kid. And
so Mike Barnes is a ringer.
Yeah, totally. And he basically torments him and tries to get him to sign up to fight in the next tournament. And Mr. Miyagi's all against it until finally, like, they push him too far, and Miyagi says, okay, I'll train you. We're going to fight Mike Barnes. And so he enters the tournament, and coincidentally, he didn't have to compete in the tournament. He only had to fight in the final as the defender of the championship. And then he fights Mike Barnes, and he wins. The end.
Yeah, didn't see that one, or don't remember it very clearly.
You
guys
quite
have
good.
A deeper history and more affection to the Karate Kid than I think I do.
The
like, I've watched
weakest,
it, and it was fun.
The weakest
but you guys
of the three,
shit.
But by no means weak.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of them. The third one's just the one I've seen the least, because the third one never gets televised. I feel like we could turn on the TV right now and find the Karate Kid somewhere. Though maybe not now that... YouTube Premium.
Oh my god.
Premium. YouTube Premium.
YouTube Premium is bringing in all those Karate Kid dollars, all those Miyagi-Do karate dollars.
Yeah, it seems like this is the only quality show that they have on the YouTube Premium service, but I tell you what, man, it was well worth my free 3-month trial. $0 that I've spent so far, I was very happy. I sat down one Sunday night, and me and my wife watched the entire series in one sitting.
They're only half-hour episodes. There's only 10 of them. That's a 5-hour commitment.
And since they're nice little half-an-hour bites, you kind of fool yourself into, well, we can watch one more. We can keep going. Well, now we have to watch the end of it. So that's, I think, smart move by YouTube Premium, by breaking them into nice little traditional half an hour chunks.
Yeah, there's nothing else on it. Like, I kind of feel bad dipping for the 3-month trial and
what
then jumping out. But there's nothing. I'll probably do the same thing unless there's other content to watch.
Yeah,
but like, I don't
you
think
won't
it's,
be able to do a trial again.
Then I'll have to pay for it for a month. I'm fine spending it's $11.99. I'm fine spending $12 on 10 episodes of a show that I thought was really awesome.
I think that is YouTube's gamble, is that everybody joined for the 3 months for free, and now we're all hooked. This show is really good. I really liked it.
And by the time season 2 comes out, like, you know, I don't know, maybe YouTube has something else to offer, but I can't imagine paying $11.99 a month for one show that I'm going to rip through in 2 days, and then, like, what else? So I'll probably pay the $12 and then get out again, but I think it's completely worth it.
So what did we... I think we unanimously enjoyed this show. What were some of the highlights of the experience of going back and revisiting this Karate Kid world, which you would think on the surface, like, what is there more to dive into?
Remember when they first announced it, they said that it was going to be kind of a comedy, but it's going to have good action and stuff. And we're like, what, a comedy? And that's exactly what it delivered on, and it worked. I would have never thought that it was going to work based on... I thought that that was almost like a misquote or a misrepresentation of what we were going to get when they were like, it's going to be a great comedy. And I'm like, what? But immediately, yeah, it's got that. It's got heart, all that stuff. I liked it right in the beginning of every episode, the way the Cobra Kai comes up across the screen. And I don't know how they picked exactly the right shot every time to have the intro title takes up like the whole screen. It just looks exactly the way it should.
There's one where it's probably episode 5 or 6 where Johnny finally has a full dojo of students, and the shot's from behind him walking out of his office. And the Cobra Kai lines up like a nameplate across the back of his shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, that's one that really stuck in my head. But yeah, they got that right every time. It was such a cool thing.
Yeah.
And at the end of every episode, there's like the metallic Cobra Kai logo.
They usually play it out with some like rockin' 80s fare.
I thought it was funny. And the comedy kind of took a back seat the further into the season you got, because the stakes got a little higher, tensions got a little higher. So by the time you get to the final few episodes, the drama's really ratcheted up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought it was a smart move to kind of build this show from the opposite perspective of Daniel LaRusso, like to do Johnny and see his... what happened to him after the tournament, and that is it an illegal kick? Is that what we've decided? Was it illegal?
I don't understand how it's illegal, but
I don't know. I'm not a karate professional or amateur.
What aren't you?
Or kid.
You're not a what professional?
I said I'm not a karate.
That's better.
I always grew up thinking it was illegal. I think back
it was,
when I was
illegal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I was told, I remember being told when I was young in the 80s watching Karate Kid that, oh, it's an illegal kick, and you just kind of overlook it because it's the Karate Kid and it's a movie. And
but it ruined his life. I mean, look at him. He's in the streets drinking Coors Banquet every day.
Because people are like, you know, people are getting punched in the face the entire tournament. But I don't know if like it's a kicking thing. But yeah, like I've heard like all my life that, oh, yeah, that kick's illegal. And I'm like, fuck you, Daniel's the fucking best.
So I thought it was cool to see how his life just absolutely seemed to crumble. He never was able to move on from that point. And the best thing about this show, I don't think that there's a clear villain. I really don't. Like, I think you can ride with Johnny for a long time and be like, okay, I understand where he's coming from, his motivations, why he would want to... reassemble Cobra Kai, and it's sort of for a good reason. It's to help out some kids that can't defend themselves, and it's sort of the inverse of what him and his bully ass gang was doing back in the 80s.
It's for a great reason until it goes off the rails at the ends, and Johnny's the ramifications of Johnny's training regimen and, you know, dojo mentality kind of bite him in the ass.
Yeah, he turns those kids into assholes.
Right. I mean, like, Hawk is probably my least favorite character in the series.
For name alone.
His big tattoo across his back? I thought that was so funny, because he actually goes and gets this huge Hawk tattoo on his back.
With a blue mohawk.
It's like hey, like man, his own. You may only have this blue mohawk for a couple of months. You need to chill.
I think the over-the-top nature of him being a dick is funny. Like,
you know what kind of sticker he would put on his laptop?
McSauce.
Well, I was going to say a Hawk sticker, but okay.
Whenever he rips his shirt off at the end of his match and he's like flexing his back muscles to make the Hawk wings fly.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, some of that stuff's kind of funny, but he turns... like, he's such a... he's such a likable, you know, quiet dork in the beginning, and then like he just goes way over the top and he becomes unlikable. He reminds me of I thought it was Mike Barnes that was Johnny's buddy in the original Karate Kid.
See, I didn't think that Hawk had personality that was likable at all. He was just super quiet, and then he turned into a raging dickhead, and that was the end of that arc. So when he was an asshole, I didn't care very much. It's whenever Miguel started turning into a jerk towards the end of the season. That's where you really saw the effects of, you know, no mercy and all that Cobra Kai mentality seeping into these kids and turning them into something that wasn't all that cool. It was Miguel changing as much as he did throughout the season.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I can't find the guy from the original Karate said that says, you know, put him in a body bag, Johnny.
Yeah.
Like that guy. Completely such a minor character in the original.
Classic unlikable. Line.
But that's what Eli turns into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or Elijah? Eli?
Eli.
That's what he turns into. He becomes that guy. And even seeing Miguel's story arc from beginning to end. Like, the season ends on a real fucking bummer. Like, no one's really happy.
Yeah, it does stink at the end.
And, like, I don't know if it's like Empire Strikes Back syndrome and, like...
Can you do that in the first, like... The first one?
I don't know. Well, I feel like The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi both specifically ended on like down notes. And like this did too. I'm like, because through the whole fight, the last fight at the All Valley tournament, I'm like, well, I don't want either of these kids to win because Daniel's, you know, Robbie, you know, Daniel's student, he's a fucking dick, and I don't like the way he looks. He looks like the best friend in Boy Meets World.
He totally looks like, I think that dude's name was Ryder Strong.
Yeah,
my sister had a massive crush on Ryder Strong back in the day. He looks like such an asshole, jackass.
And you know they do a really good job with all the other characters because even the like the hot blonde girl that's a super bitch, like she looks normal. Miguel looks normal. His other buddies, they kind of take a page out of the Stranger Things It handbook of casting kids. But the dude that plays Robbie is like the handsomest young actor. Like, it's completely unbelievable how nice his hair is and how handsome he is. And
I love that this is your takeaway.
He pulls all this fucking bullshit. And yeah, like you see him turn it around a little bit. You know, he prevents LaRusso Motors from being robbed, and you know he gets his shit together by the end. But like,
he prevents it from being robbed by him.
I don't want him right, exactly. Like, I don't want him to win at the end either, because we're with Miguel, and Miguel's making some bad choices in that last fight. But this is, as much as it's like Johnny's story, it's Miguel's story. You know, Miguel is Daniel LaRusso for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like a nature versus nurture where you see, what could have happened with Daniel if he joined up with Cobra Kai and not Mr. Miyagi. So I get what they're doing. I like, you know, flipping the script in that way, you know, using, you know, Johnny is the good guy and Miguel is, you know, the Daniel that goes bad. But it was just such a bummer of an end because, you know, in the big fight, you want to be invested, and it was just awkward because I'm like, I hate everything that's happening here.
Yeah.
And maybe that was the goal of the scene, to realize that like all of this is messed up. And that's why, you know, Johnny gets the trophy at the end and he goes right back to his Coors Banquet. I love that Johnny specifically drank Coors Banquet. I love that when there was a cooler full of Heinekens and Modelos, he was still looking for his Coors Banquet.
What a terrible beer for a terrible alcoholic.
I love that he didn't stop drinking either. Like, there was the moment where, you know, after dinner with Miguel's family, he stops in his fridge and he gets the orange juice out instead. But next episode, he's back to Coors Banquet.
That's what's important. I like that they... the way that they kind of flipped Johnny and Daniel LaRusso, like the fact that Johnny grew up as a rich kid and now is sort of like down on his luck and everything. You get to see how those two paths kind of went separate ways, and you get hints. I think it's pretty skillfully used how they interject all the old footage into the series, and you get to see glimpses of who those characters were back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I just to echo what you guys are talking about. By the time we got to the end of the season, it was very clear the way that they flipped basically Johnny and Daniel. And I don't mean literally those two characters, but I mean their 21st century analogs in Robbie and Miguel. Miguel obviously being Daniel and Robbie being Johnny. And it's like, this is what would have happened if they had different teachers. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was a really interesting way of doing it. Now, Paul was saying that by the end, you don't feel good about anybody in the tournament. But I think that as viewers, you're meant to want Robbie to win, you know, like I think that your average viewer wants the good guy to win.
Do you feel like Robbie was the good guy? Because I still kind of don't.
I don't like him, but I think that's what they're trying to do. I think that they made a clear distinction between what those characters became by the end of the show. Maybe they're still evolving, but I feel like there may not be any going back. I don't know.
You think that Cobra Kai is going to continue to take a dark turn? And
I do.
Even though Johnny has reservations, and it seems like he's really seen the error in his ways of going with the old ways of teaching these kids. Like he's not happy with it. He's not settled with it.
No,
especially
but
after
I think now that Kreese has come back, he's going to feel really like stuck, and I think you're gonna see Kreese still has an influence over Johnny.
Yeah,
all these years later, and I think that it won't be until the third season that Johnny tries to get out from under Kreese, and either leaves Cobra Kai or whatever. Maybe even has to team up with Daniel, but that wouldn't be until season three. I think season two is gonna ratchet up like that tension that he's feeling of somewhat loyalty to Kreese, even though now as a grown man, knowing that it's still not the right thing, but still feeling powerless. That's sort of what I expect out of season two, but
I wonder why he said, Kreese is dead whenever he was talking at the
meeting. Maybe
he
thought he
meeting.
Was. I don't know. But, I don't necessarily feel like Johnny was the main character. I definitely feel it was a 50-50 split. The first episode was clearly Johnny's episode. The second one was clearly Daniel's episode. And then it was kind of a back and forth kind of thing. You know, what was interesting to me, one of the most interesting things, was that it took them a good few episodes until Daniel started feeling like Daniel again. Johnny, like, I could buy that as Johnny, even though he was a rich kid in the original. It totally made sense. That's that dude's trajectory. Daniel, on the other hand, I think lost himself in his success between, you know, the wife and the kids, and he had all that stuff, but at the same time, like, his kid, well, at least one of his kids is kind of awful. His wife's kind of a B, although she came around in the end of the
is she
season.
A bit,
I thought
you
she
felt
was,
like she was a bitch.
I thought she was nice the whole time.
I thought she was cool the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I never got that she was bitchy at all. I thought she was always pushing Daniel in the right direction.
Because early on, Daniel is lost in this whole new world, and like she's the one that's like. Like, from the very first time, like, he feels off. She's like, hey, like, you're letting this stuff get to you. Like, she's his, like, moral compass the entire time.
Okay.
I never got the sense that she was a bitch. Maybe when she was giving it to Mrs. LaRusso a little bit.
Oh yeah. But
I didn't look up any of the casting because I wanted to be surprised. But you know, the series starts and I'm a couple episodes in and I'm like, is the lady that played Daniel's mother still alive? And I didn't want to look it up because I didn't want to know if she'd be in it or not. I wanted to be surprised, and I loved seeing it.
Yeah. But to me, we didn't really get Daniel back until the fifth episode, halfway through, when he finally goes and visits Miyagi. And holy shit, like, you can't show me a more touching episode of television, like, ever. That felt like an absolute extension of the kind of stuff that you would have gotten in the first Karate Kid movie, or really any of them. They played the little music that went with Mr. Miyagi. It just felt right. And I loved it. And then he went back and then he put the gi on and he basically embraced his past a little bit. And he found it. What was it? Balance, I think, was the name of the episode. He found his balance. Yeah.
They pulled all the right strings at using all the right clips and reminding the audience of these relationships in a really, not, what's the opposite of heavy-handed? It was just a subtle manner. I
like light-handed, but subtle works.
In a very light-handed.
Yeah, the scene where he visits Mr. Miyagi's grave.
Mr. Burp.
I don't understand why Mr. Miyagi wasn't buried in Okinawa, but I love when he goes back to the grave and, you know, he's sitting there talking to him. It did feel like it felt like we were right back in 1984 in the original movies. Mm-hmm. And there's at the end of that scene, he stands up and you can see his silhouette on the hill and he bows at the grave. And I thought that kind of reflected the scene from the first movie where Daniel sees Miyagi standing on the cut piers doing the crane kick just in silhouette against the background. I thought that was a really nice touch. And I didn't understand how much the original music was going to choke me up.
Yeah, right?
Well, yeah, like I was, as soon as it started playing, crying.
Yeah.
When that shit was happening. Even when Miguel goes on the date with Daniel's daughter and they're playing the original song from Daniel's Day with Allie.
I didn't pick any of that up.
At the golf place. That's cool. Like, that kicks on and they're playing golf and they're having fun and I'm sitting there like... So, yeah, like I didn't... I wasn't expecting... I wasn't expecting a lot of the music to affect me the way that it did, but yeah, that's. I think going forward, talking about like music that's had like impact in my life, I think I'm gonna have to include that Karate Kid score because all of that brought up so much emotion whenever I was watching it.
Do you know who did the original score?
Tell me,
Bill Conti.
I went to school with a Mike Conti.
You know what I think. Yeah, it's the same guy, but just a different name. It's Bill Conti is the guy that made the iconic Rocky soundtrack.
Oh.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, the first Karate Kid, if not all of them, were directed by the guy that directed the first Rocky movie.
Yeah? I didn't know that either.
Before Stallone took it over.
Mm. I'm glad they didn't use You're the Best Around.
Not yet.
Probably going to save that one.
Now... here's a question that I have. What did you guys think of the somewhat over-the-top modernized version of the fights at the end? Like, stylistically, it felt a little bit like too much to me, like compared to the way the fights just felt like karate matches in the original.
Like the one fighter who ends up in the final four... And he is essentially a combatant from Mortal Kombat, like that dude. Yeah, that shit was wild. I thought that all the other fights seemed all right, unless it was up against that guy, and he was totally crazy. I mean, let's just call him Scorpion. I mean,
Paul, do you know who that is?
Scorpion.
Yeah, I know who Scorpion is. I guess it's probably from a, creative standpoint of everything needs to be a little bigger. It's 2018.
Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
It's not 1984.
Have you seen a recent karate match, Matt? These kids nowadays, these millennials, they can do some stuff.
They can defy the laws of physics.
Absolutely. So, they've watched The Matrix so many times that they can just levitate through air.
I love when the one nerdy kid that quits Cobra Kai, they're at the All-Valley tournament. He goes, "This has been happening for the last 50 years? How did I not know about this?"
I feel like the audience that is watching this, though, is our generation. Like, I don't see 22-year-olds that you might work with, Ian, going and checking out the new Karate Kid series on YouTube Premium.
No, the person that really drove me to watch this, it wasn't you guys. It was my buddy Brian, who is in our age group. He's a Gen Xer, and he said he did the same thing. He watched it cover to cover one night, just blazed right through it. Loved the shit out of it, so... Yeah, I think it is definitely targeted at us. But I think there's a little bit of overlap. I think that some of the younger kids could probably get into it and really enjoy this.
Because it's just good. I mean, aside from even the nostalgia, I think that it's a legitimate show that could stand on its own. I do. Okay, so we gushed over this for the last 30 minutes. Paul, is there anything about it you didn't like?
Yeah, I didn't like how Miguel's a bad guy at the end.
Yeah.
I was afraid going in that the acting was going to be bad. I wasn't sure William Zabka and Ralph Macchio were going to be able to deliver. But
cuz how much acting have they done?
I thought they delivered.
Well, I think certainly Ralph Macchio's delivery was better than Zabka's.
I thought he was pretty good. I thought they were both really good.
Yeah. Like he fell right back in like his, I loved his character. He was so good. I love his refusal to bend to PC norms of 2018.
He was kind of a fun, like throwback 1980s anti-hero almost.
Yeah. The one thing I wasn't crazy about was like Johnny's complete, non-knowledge of modern technology. I thought it was funny that he still had a flip phone because it's super cheap, but like he doesn't know what like Facebook is.
Yeah.
And like that was kind
of
goofy.
I don't know. I don't think that that's out of the range. Like, so what is he? He's probably in his late 40s. Is that right? I don't know. Have you guys talked to anybody in their late 40s lately? I feel like a lot of those dudes don't want to have anything to do with social media.
Yeah,
the bother
of it
all.
I talk to him every week on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have Facebook, motherfucker. Like,
yeah, but I know what Facebook is, and there's a ton of late 40s at the office that we talk to. They have Facebook accounts. They know what Facebook is. Like, I thought that was
a little bit
of a stretch for the joke.
I don't know.
All right,
I
but like there isn't okay. there. Like there isn't a whole lot that I can be upset with. Like I loved all of it. I love Johnny's shitty car. I love that he was listening to shitty 80s rock.
I love that he made Miguel listen to shitty 80s music.
Johnny's arc for the season. The only things I didn't like were Robbie. I didn't like Robbie. I don't think he was. He wasn't sympathetic enough for me. You look at Daniel in the first movie, and Ralph Macchio is a skinny kid, but Robbie gets hurt in the tournament, and he's back in the training room.
It's ripped.
And he pulls the gi down, and you see his shoulder, and it's just muscles on top of muscles. And I'm like, this is not a sympathetic kid. Why are we being sympathetic for him? Like, at least like Miguel.
They cast him because that kid probably knows karate in real life, and they wanted a kid that is young but can kind of act and fight.
Yeah, but Miguel's tall and lanky, and he's goofy looking, and he really fit the mold. So
braces.
Yeah, I was just kind of bummed that I was bummed at the trajectory these characters took, And I'm sure, you know, they have two, maybe three seasons planned out where they want these characters to go. And, like, Miguel's going to be redeemed. Johnny's going to be redeemed.
Maybe Kreese
comes back and they bring Terry Silver back. And then Johnny and Daniel have to team up to take on, like, the super bad dojo. So, like, there's plenty of ways.
Cobra Kai Red, come back. Right?
Who?
I think Mike Barnes will come back.
Yeah?
I think so.
So, they referenced Terry Silver. I loved when Johnny was like, I don't even know who that is. Like, there was a lot of good, I really liked a lot of really good comedy, a lot of really funny stuff.
Do you feel like your expectation level, since it was on YouTube's platinum or bronze channel, was sufficiently just like lower because it wasn't on a regular TV channel, so you went into it with a little bit of hesitation, like, maybe this is going to be okay. And since it was actually a good TV show, it's like, oh, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah, but no, I think all of that went out the window at least in the first episode.
Yeah.
If not the first half of the first episode, at least by the first episode. Like, that didn't matter anymore. Like, I understood the production quality, you know, the writing, what the show was going to be about. So at that point, you know, it was just a regular, like, it may as well have been on, you know, CBS or Netflix.
Once I got to the end of the first episode and the Sony Productions logo comes out, I was like, oh, this is a real deal, legit thing that they just chose to kick off YouTube's
all the flashbacks helped. The use of the music from the originals, like that told me, like, this isn't a knockoff. This is we're mining all of the stuff that we own.
Yeah.
And it really worked. You guys said before we recorded last week, we talked briefly about Cobra Kai, and you were both saying that the flashbacks were used really tastefully. And there's a bit where...
Light-handedly.
There's a bit where Johnny's explaining to Miguel how Daniel LaRusso rolls into town and he steals his girlfriend. And it's from Johnny's perspective.
And I really bought that. I was like, that fucking dickhead.
There's a YouTube video, oddly enough, that someone put together with, like, captions of, I think it's called Daniel LaRusso is the real bad guy of, or the real villain of The Karate Kid. And it takes you, it's been up for years, and it takes you through The Karate Kid from Johnny's perspective. And I think that episode was a little tip of the hat to that, because it was, we were getting it from Johnny's perspective, and you're like, oh man. Daniel's a dick.
Yeah, this show basically showed you what Johnny's perspective was, but in greater detail. It's like, because they basically played out the exact same way all over again, mm-hmm. right? Like, the new kid comes to town and turns the good kid kind of bad, but you never really saw all that stuff before the new kid comes to town. And I don't know. It was very cleverly, smartly, and... done, and it was done with tons of reverence for the original material. Those writers are just giant fans.
Even down to the new kid comes in, steals the girl kind of thing.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, totally.
All mirrored everything, and I think that was a real smart way to foreshadow what was going to happen.
Oh, I loved it when Johnny and Daniel bond over being unhappy with who Allie ended up with. I thought that was so fucking funny.
That whole scene where they're in the bar getting tanked, maybe it's just a soft spot that I have for people getting shit-faced in a bar, but I love that whole scene of them just, like, sitting down and talking it out and kind of, like, they do have some things, I'm sure, that they can be friends about.
I could have watched that scene. I could have watched an entire episode of them sitting in the bar. I love when Daniel pulls up.
I love that Johnny doesn't know, like, well, what's Facebook? Well, can't you see her pictures? And he's like, well, you have to be a friend. Like, I love that.
That feels genuine, because that's something I've said to you.
I know.
And, like, I love when Daniel pulls up her husband's picture, and he's this, like, hot guy with beautiful hair and sunglasses on a mountain. And Johnny's like, what a tool.
That shit was great. Yeah, it was really Great writing. Really gets to the heart of the characters.
One of the funniest bits for me was when Daniel and Johnny are facing off in Daniel's backyard. And Daniel's wife comes out and she's like, you know, quit being alpha males. Let's just settle this over breakfast. And Daniel says something like, all right, go inside. And Johnny's like, I could eat. And like all of a sudden, the entire scene's diffused. And it was done so subtly.
Because in reality, so well. They're not like hot-blooded teenagers. They're just old dudes that probably would just want to have breakfast.
Yeah.
Ian. Yes. Was there anything in the show that you had an issue with or didn't like?
No, man. I love the whole show. I really didn't dislike anything. As I was sort of alluding to before, my relationship with the Karate Kid is a little different than you and Paul's. I like it. I remember having it on VHS. I watched it a lot. But I don't think I've revisited the Karate Kid universe in probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 years. I haven't watched Karate Kid in a long time.
You should. Now that you've seen
I probably
this.
Will. Yeah, I probably will watch them. I'll probably watch the third one that I didn't watch. So
have you never seen the third one?
Like, no,
never?
You guys explaining it was
okay.
A completely different world to me. I've never watched that movie before. I've watched two a whole lot. I remember that, and I remember the first movie pretty well. So my expectation level was very low. I almost didn't really want to watch. Like, it wasn't my choice to even turn it on. My wife really wanted to watch it and asked me to, you know, sign us up and throw it on the TV, and we were going to sit down and watch it together. So it wasn't even really my call, but I'm very glad that I was able to sit down and get through the whole season, and it's something that does make me want to revisit the whole world and really gives me a higher appreciation of those movies and what it really represents to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It's going to make going back and watching the original again a lot different, because Johnny has a real backstory and so much depth. And a little thing that, and I don't even know if most people would have noticed it, but a little thing that stood out to me that spoke to what Johnny was dealing with in that final fight against Daniel that, like, I didn't put together until I was watching this. You know, they arrive at the All Valley tournament and they unfurl Daniel's banner and he's up in the crane kick, and the way Daniel's looking at it, he sees himself, but you also see Allie in the background of that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And like up until that shot of the series, like, it didn't, and also knowing what Johnny's been through up until the, you know, final episode of the season, like what Johnny was going through in that tournament, like, this is the girl that he's been crazy in love with, this dude stole her, and she's right there, like, you know, within, like, you know, earshot of, like, this match. And it was just like a little extra layer of emotion put in there that I really appreciated. Matt, did you not like anything? Robbie, he was terrible.
I hated Robbie. I hated Robbie. I did. I rooted against him in the final fight, even though I felt like the show creators were basically positioning him as the hero by the end of it. But Paul, like you said, he's not sympathetic really in any way. Like, I just... He actually has a lot in common with, like, Daniel. You know, Daniel, we forget, in the original Karate Kid, was a hothead. He, you know, could be kind of a dick. He was a smart ass. Like, he wasn't an angel. And neither is Robbie. So they're actually more similar than we're probably giving them credit to be. But as, you know, a six-year-old, when I watched The Karate Kid, I didn't pick up on those things. I just knew Daniel as being the hero. Well, now I can tell that Robbie's a punk, and I don't like him. And I, you know what? It's not just the character. I don't like the actor. I just... Is it his face? Is it his mouth?
Matt,
I know it's so superficial.
I'm with you.
Man.
I don't want my opinion of the character to be colored by the actor, but... there's something about him. I don't like it. I don't know if it's his perfect hair or his perfect face. Like, he's just not... He looks like a Hollywood casting. And the rest of the show, he looks completely out of place.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Even the bad kids at school don't look... You know, they were plucked out of, like, a modeling agency.
Yeah.
Maybe the two, you know, bitchy girls do, but...
Well, his daughter pretty much looks like she was plucked.
Yeah, but she looks like your basic teenage girl in a teen show.
Yeah.
Like, she's hot, but she's not, like, overly attractive. Like, there's nothing wrong with this kid. Like, he has, like... perfect facial structure, and his eyebrows are perfect, and his teeth are perfect. Like, he fucking glows. Wow. And that's not who I want to be.
Are we still talking
for?
About
We're
Robbie?
We're talking about Robbie. I said I don't want my opinion of the character to be colored by the actor, but I can't help it. There's something about this kid I don't like. He was in The Fosters, and I didn't like him in The Fosters either. And I think it's just him. It's just like him, and I don't think he fits what Johnny's struggling son should be. Like, I see he takes that gi down and he's fucking ripped, and I'm like, so what is this kid doing all day? He's not smoking dope with his buddies. He's fucking hitting the gym. It didn't track with me. So, Matt,
I agree.
I think that's valid.
I couldn't stand him. I would be totally content if they recast Robbie in the next season. Because I think
it's not too late.
As a skinny nerd.
Yeah. Fuck it. Just reshoot all the scenes.
Get that kid that played Bill Denbrough in it.
Yeah.
That would be bad, guys.
But anyway, that's about it, man. I thought that the movie or the TV show did an incredible job of striking the balance between the comedy and the seriousness and the action, and making characters that you never thought as sympathetic before as sympathetic characters. And it did a great job of adding new layers to the existing. Paul, what's so funny?
I don't know if it's going to pick up on the mics, but apparently the 4th of July grand finale just happened outside at varying intervals through this episode. Someone outside has been lighting off fireworks.
For anyone listening outside of Pennsylvania or in the future, Pennsylvania this year relaxed its laws on fireworks. So, and also the 4th of July happened to fall in the middle of the week last week. So the 4th of July has been going on for two full
months.
Fucking weeks now, where we're just, hey, we're celebrating it.
It's not.
It's great.
It's not going to be the 4th of July in Pennsylvania. It's just going to be
It's going to be July.
It's not even like lighting off fireworks in a celebratory manner. It's just pyros. That's all it is. People wanting to light shit on fire.
Have things explode in the air, and I don't want a license to do that, so...
Yeah,
let's go.
It's
ridiculous.
I'm fairly sure these aren't going to pick up on Mike, but the entire time Matt was just talking, it was the fucking first 4th of July.
But so what? One thing that I wanted to say is that I think that the show is doing a really good job of adding new perspectives to those existing movies, where you're going to see them differently, and pretty much in all better ways, like more interesting and deeper ways than you did the first time you've seen it. And I think that's a good thing. I think that it'll be a really fun watch to go back, especially for that first movie. But
you know what was really weird that stood out to me and as kind of a continuity error?
No.
What? Now, granted, I don't know the details of it, but Daniel's cooking dinner for his daughter's boyfriend, Caden? Clayton?
That Asian
kid? Kyler.
Kyler.
Yeah. What a despicable goddamn name. Kyler.
Yeah, that
also a despicable character, but that name, go to hell.
And like, did he not deserve the beating that Johnny gave him or what?
Absolutely. I've never been happier
100%
to watch a teenager get their ass whipped by a 40-year-old man.
I love how Johnny's the Mr. Miyagi where he beats up the teenagers. I like it.
Yeah, before we get into my continuity question, I love that they showed a grown man beating up teenagers and they didn't shy away from it. And I love that Daniel and Johnny drove home drunk after the bar and they addressed it. And like they didn't throw a line in there like, oh, well, it's a good thing like we waited and sobered up. Because like I would expect that in this day and age of soft pussies. So,
but Cobra Kai is distinctly anti-pussy.
Right. So Daniel's cooking dinner for Kyler, and he's cutting the fish, and he's like, "Oh, well, I got this knife.
Can you cook sushi? Can you cook it? I don't think you can. He's making dinner.
He's preparing dinner.
Yes.
He's like, "Oh, I got this knife in my first trip to Okinawa," and I'm like, "Motherfucker, I watched The Karate Kid Part 2. I didn't see you buy a fucking knife in Okinawa. You weren't even interested in the culinary arts in Karate Kid 2. Why the fuck would you bring home a knife from Okinawa? Not even like a, fuck, Sato and Chosen are coming after my ass. I need to defend myself. Just a cooking knife."
Maybe his girlfriend gave it to him before he left.
Maybe.
Maybe he bought it.
Continuity problem averted.
Yumiko still looks amazing. Bring her back for season 2.
Okay.
I want to see more Karate Kid 2 addressed. They talked Terry Silver. I don't think they gave Karate Kid 2 enough love because that's my favorite of the Karate Kid franchise.
Are we going to see Allie in the second season? Are they going to bring her back? Like, I think that Elizabeth Shue probably had no interest and then sees that this is a raging success. Her career ain't exactly like on fire right now. It's not like the 4th of July in Western Pennsylvania. It is, you know, like she needs to come back to this show to kind of kickstart a few things, I think.
There's a couple scenes that really set it up that Allie is the love of Johnny's life. And like that's the trajectory that should go. But they also set up Miguel's mom as Johnny's potential love interest.
True.
I don't think we're going to see Elizabeth Shue.
That's fine.
Who's the fucking put him in a body bag guy? What the fuck is his name?
Some random ass.
Why don't you guys know this? I need to know this, but I can't find it fast enough.
I don't know. I didn't know it mattered.
It matters.
Paul, let's go around and give our final grades for this first season. You start.
I'm going to give it a 10. I thought it was pretty great. If I'm going to be hard on it, I'll give it a 9 because Robbie's the fucking worst.
Robbie is so bad. There's no way that's a perfect 10 with Robbie. Not to tip my hand there, Ian, but I'm going to go next then, since I already kind of blew my load. It's an 8. Robbie's really shitty, and if it was a different actor, it'd probably be a 9, and if it was a different character, it'd probably be a 10.
Yeah, I probably have to give it a 9 just because Robbie was fucking trash.
Ian, go.
I didn't think he was that bad, but I would give it a 9. It was a very satisfying experience. I really liked it. It's going to make me want to go back and go through the entire Karate Kid catalog. I had low expectations going in, so at this point I think a 9 is definitely. I wouldn't give it a 10 because I don't know. I save 10s for special things like Empire Strikes Back.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll go 9.
Yeah, I mean it was a great show. It really was. It had me so engaged that I blazed through the entire thing in one sitting. Don't do that a lot with a lot of shows. So that's a credit to Sony Pictures and YouTube Premium for making such a great show.
Matt, any final words?
No. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next season. What can I say?
Me too. Really made me want to go back and sit down and watch all three Karate Kids.
Watch the Hilary Swank one, because I'm not going to, and I just want you to tell me if it's...
I've always really liked Hilary Swank, so I'll probably watch it.
Okay, go for it.
I'll watch it. That's going to do it for us tonight. McSauce recommends watching Cobra Kai. Get the 3-month YouTube Prime trial.
Oh, my
God. Sure. That's
right. That's the name of it.
YouTube Prime.
Get the free 3-month trial. Go watch Cobra Kai. You'll bang it out in a weekend.
Put him in a body bag, guy. Is it Rob Garrison, a.k.a. Tommy?
Tommy. I think it's Tommy.
Well, thank God for that.
I feel so much better. Now, yeah, Hawk essentially turned into Tommy, who's the most despicable member of Cobra Kai, other than John Kreese. But John Kreese isn't even that despicable until the beginning of Karate Kid 2. When he,
when he
chokes Johnny out in the parking lot. Yeah. Yeah, Ian. Come on, right now. What time is it over there? Almost 10 o'clock. Plenty of time to binge 3 Karate Kid movies before tomorrow. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Casal.
We'll see you next time. Well,